Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation Talk Radio, 790 KABC, and here we are. I'll tell you what, where was this Trump 2 months ago? Calling today's Trump. That was incredible. Okay, just finished watching the debate, and let's go through it here a little bit and get into the meat. I'm going to tell you, as I always do, my take on it and tell you what I'm thinking. Look, did you notice how at every now, and if you didn't watch the debate, we'll get you through it. We're going to recap it, because at every stage, at every point along the way, it was almost, I mean, Hillary used the same playbook on Trump that she did from the very, very beginning, which is bait him. Trump will go off on a tangent. He'll lose his focus. He'll go to protect himself. And he didn't do it. Trump, this whole hour and a half, I watched with bated breath. And I thought, surely she's going to unnerve him eventually. And she tried everything. She even came back with that beauty contestant, didn't she? Brought her out of the dust. And he just shook his head and said, I'm just not even gonna, wouldn't go there. So, first of all, this debate was different for one key reason. And understand, whatever is said in the next 24, 48 hours in the talking heads, the first time it was conducted by a real journalist. I mean, Wallace asked tough questions of both the candidates. He did. He asked tough questions of Hillary. He brought up WikiLeaks. I mean, do you think for a minute that Anderson Cooper would have brought up WikiLeaks? There's no chance. And as I explained the other day, the CNN and a lot of the mainstream media completely ignoring the WikiLeaks drop, the WikiLeaks documents, calling it criminal activity. We shouldn't even be reading them, blah, 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 blah. And all of a sudden, here it was getting mentioned. And I'll tell you why this is key. Because for those people watching, for those people that watched like I did on CNN, I know it'll surprise you. I was watching CNN here at the studio. It might have been the first time that they saw this issue be raised and discussed ever or so far. And Hillary was forced to defend herself. Now, I'll tell you, you know, it obviously is not always perfect. And I'll explain some of the things that I think Trump missed, opportunities that he missed, and things that he could have certainly done better, and places where perhaps it failed a little bit. But do you remember the whole Putin thing? This was one thing that would always set him off in past debates. Hillary would push him on Putin, and the conversation would always. Trump would devolve into some mad explanation about how, you know, he likes him and he's a strong leader and a super leader. Remember this? He would always do that. Not this time. He was very succinct in his answer, very strong in his answer and how he described. He said, look, what harm could come with having a good relationship with Russia? I don't know him. He's not my friend. And then Hillary tried to bait him further. And this was fantastic. She says, well, Russia has hacked stolen email. They've espionage. They've spied on us. Of course, she's, you know, referring to the suspected Russian interference. The Russians have hacked my email was her refrain. Will you denounce it? She asked of Trump. It's the best answer of the whole night. He said, yeah. Of course I denounce it, Russia or anyone else. Of course. And further denounced any meddling that any foreign powers would have in the election. So I think, look, we got into guns, we got into abortion, we got into debt, the economy was discussed, veterans, wars. The war answers were great, were they not? I mean, the question was, and this is what always would frustrate me. It always frustrated me. Do you remember watching Obama and it was even with McCain, but especially with Romney. A question would be asked, and the premise of the question would be fundamentally flawed. And Romney would accept the premise. He would just accept the premise that was handed to him by CNN or by Candace Crowley or whomever. You know, like the whole idea. Well, you obviously don't like women, Mr. Governor. You know, you don't have any women around. You're a patriarchal white male. And his whole answer, well, I have binders full of women. Remember that? It was so absurd because he didn't stop and say, Candace Crowley, you're full of crap. That's the most absurd, stupid question. And it was like this with Mosul. So the question was, do you put boot? And it was really look, from a journalism point of view, it was a good question, because the question about Mosul was, well, do we put boots on the ground to solve this problem once and for all and put ISIS on its heels? Do we clean it up? You know, because it's a tough question. Both candidates do not want to commit to troops on the ground right now. It is not a popular topic. Nobody wants to get up there and tell the American public, I'm going to put troops in harm's way. We are a war-fatigued country. So the boots on the ground question comes up, and Hillary gives a very polished and rambling answer, saying something to the effect, well, we do have boots on the ground, and we are going to be continuing, da 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 da. And then Trump answers. And this is exactly where being a non-traditional debater actually helps you, because he says, look, Mosul, the problem in Mosul is that we had it. It was already cleaned up. And these guys, Hillary and Obama, had that and blew it. They blew the opportunity. They blew they blew it. They lost Mosul. And now what? You know? And here, and this is, I'm telling you, this was good. Well, look, what did they do? They said, we're going to retake Mosul. I read about it in the newspaper. Remember, he said, I read about it in the newspaper. You can picture Trump saying it. And they said, we're going to take Mosul. And it's 3 months away. And we're going to retake it. Where's the element of surprise? And see, let me explain to you what he did. What Trump did is he took a question that was a policy talking point. Hillary answered it as a politician would, as a talking point. And Trump then turns it around and answers it in a very visceral way that every rube understands. And I'm not calling, look, I'm putting myself in that group, okay? I'm not saying we're rubes, but I'm just saying he answered it in a way that everybody understands, which is you don't tell the enemy that you're going to hit him. You don't put it in the newspaper. DUI checkpoints. My friends in Europe laugh at us, right? They say, I heard you guys in America set up DUI checkpoints and you put it in the newspaper. You advertise it. And I go, well, yeah, there's a constitutional requirement. Due process, you got it. You got to announce it. They mystified. They don't get it. The element of surprise. You don't say, I'm going to punch you. Pop. That's not how it works. And here is what we're 45 minutes post debate, and I'm watching CNN right now, and I can see what they're talking about, and I'll get to that in a minute. But one of the key things that everybody is saying here is they're saying, well, now expert so and so, you know, you listen to the, oh yeah, yeah, I watched the debate. Yeah, yeah. Did you see anything? I know Trump spoke to his base, but did Trump say anything did he move that undecided voter? Did he convince any undecided voters? And everybody's saying, no, he didn't. No chance. And that is exactly what you're going to hear tomorrow. You're going to hear a bunch of people talking and this cacophony of basically, the guy thinks just phony agreement on he didn't speak to any voters. And as I get through this thing, as I get through the whole debate, and we'll get through more of it here as the program continues, I'm going to explain to you that he may not be talking to undecided voters here in LA. He may not be talking to undecided voters in California, but the issues that he brought up, trade, immigration, security, these are things, the economy, okay, taxes, these are things that speak to so many people in swing states. I heard a common refrain there of issues that I know are on the minds of disenfranchised Democrats, guaranteed. So I think, as with a lot of things, this election, I know all the news guys, they're in Los Angeles, they're in New York, they're in Washington, D.C. That's where the big bureaus are. And this is where we live, right? We live in the Southland. I mean, most of you listening to the program live right here. And so where we walk and talk and where we live, we're putting on our California left coast glasses, even if we're conservatives. We do that. And so, you know, you're right. I mean, there are factories here that have been shuttered too. But no comparison to the Rust Belt, to Ohio, okay, to upstate New York, to Pennsylvania. There's no comparison. And this is where I'm telling you that it was a very effective debate performance. And it was, in part, it was stylistic. Trump was subdued. In fact, we were, my team's laughing. We were joking that somebody given him a quaalude. I mean, if you didn't see, it was probably, if you heard it, you could hear that it was much more, it was a lot lower energy than his typical Trump, but it worked well for him. It worked well for him. He didn't interject the way he did. His facial mannerisms were not as grotesque or as overplayed as they were in past debates. He was far more, I mean, dare I say, presidential. And I'm going to tell you, I went into this debate with very low expectations, which helps him. I went into this debate. I mean, this election is, I mean, who's tired of it? I mean, I think a lot of us are just, aren't you fatigued by all this? No, I mean, this, and I love politics and I live in this world, but I'm telling you, it's draining. And it's been a little bit, obviously it's been a little bit disconcerting because you've got 90% of the media piling on Trump and it's disheartening. And so along came this debate, and I'm telling you, I went into it thinking that this is not something that I just didn't feel like he was going to be doing a very good job. And he far and away exceeded my expectations. Now, one of the things I think that was particularly effective was he really did target the Clinton Global Initiative and the Clinton Foundation. And he brought it around after a discussion on women and women's rights and Hillary taking her usual and expected digs at Trump and how he demeans women and so forth. He turns it around, talks about the Clinton Initiative. Now the reason he brings it up is that Hillary, he nails her. He goes after the money. He goes, $20 million you took from Saudi Arabia. And what does Saudi Arabia do? Look at how they treat women. Look at Qatar. You took millions of dollars from Qatar. And then they even brought up Haiti. I mean, that was great. I mean, it just brings up. He says, I just went to little Haiti. And this is where you can see glimmers of discipline in Trump's presentation, because he's talking about constituencies that are in swing states. Little Haiti is in Florida. And he's talking about how he's visited with a bunch of people there, and they go, and you know what? They hate you. because of what the Clinton Foundation did in Haiti. Took all that money, distributed gold and mineral rights to a special. We've gone over all this, and you know the story. I mean, a Clinton insider, brother of Hillary Rodham Clinton, ended up getting valuable mineral rights. The only permit ever given to a foreigner magically ends up in the hands of Hillary Rodham Clinton's brother. I think, and by the way, you didn't hear that on CNN, did you? And so it's been an interesting thing. Now, when we come back, I want to talk about some of the stuff that Trump didn't do so well on, in areas where Hillary maybe actually did pretty good, and go through that. So, we'll be back after this. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation Talk Radio, 790 KABC.
This is Sweet James Bergener. I listen to Sam Nation.
That Trump is more authentic eating his KFC on his jet than a rich dude like Romney flying around on JetBlue, you know, playing the I'm normal card.
Talk radio.
790 KABC.
And we're back. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation Talk Radio, 790 KABC. I am live from L.A. That's right. Straight from Central Command, KABC headquarters, off my favorite street in the whole universe, La Cienega Boulevard. Oh my gosh, these potholes. Something else. I want to talk, we're talking about the debate. And you know, before I talk about some of the shortcomings and positives of both Trump and Hillary, two things: they did not shake hands before or after, and you couldn't tell even if you listened to it on the radio. I'm telling you, Hillary literally was murdering Trump with her eyes. I have. You know that, you know, we've all had that teacher in junior high who just, well, I mean, I was a class clown. So I remember, I know this look, and I am telling you, Hillary would look at him sideways, and it was, and you could see every muscle in her face was determined not, I mean, there was a murderous glance. Now, Trump had on, maybe this is why he had a good performance, because he had on his classic blue suit, red power tie. He did not opt for the blue tie like he has in past debates. And Hillary Clinton was wearing this white getup. It was extra roomy, but it kind of had this Imelda Marcos power suit flair to it. So I don't know if it has a matching shoe collection or not, but... But that is what they look like. Did not shake hands before. And that was by request of the Clinton campaign, because they were upset with the Trump people for bringing in Billy's past sexual conquests there in the front row. And I did not get to see. You could not see on air if Obama's half brother was able to make it. They did not pan the audience to see if he was in fact there. But I'm sure we'll hear about it in the days to come. Now. I'm still watching the CNN feed here, and everybody's talking about it. I think this was a very poor move, and I don't like it. Trump was asked, and Chris Wallace asked him this question about, you know, you're saying the election's rigged. The election is rigged. You know, you're complaining about it. Now, if you are to lose, or he basically, I think, phrased it, win or lose, come November 8th, are you willing to accept the outcome? And Trump refused. He said, "Well, I'll wait to be surprised. You know, I'm not gonna tell you." And I think, do you remember taking us back just 8 years? No, more. Gosh, 16, right? Almost. When do you remember when Gore lost in 2000? And he went. I mean, look, he got 50% of the vote. It wasn't like the guy was unpopular. You remember what when he challenged the outcome of that election, right or wrong, I'm not passing judgment on the substance of it. He became America's biggest loser. I mean, it was just... He not only ended up losing the election, but he lost a lot of respect from even people within his own party. And we have something that differentiates us from other countries. And Reagan writes about this in his memoirs. It's a very powerful part of Reagan's autobiography. And he talks about how after a very contentious election, where he fought, you know, he fought and he ended up successfully taking the presidency from President Carter. The two men stood side by side for Reagan swearing in. And they met and they walked up to the steps and there stood Carter and there stood Reagan as Reagan was sworn in as president. And that very powerful scene ended up being exactly, you know, an embodiment of what this country is about. Because we are a country that believes in fair play. Now, politics does not always deliver on that, does it? But we also are not a country of sore losers. We believe in a fight, even if it's dirty. And then at the end of it, we come together. And it reminds me of a great slogan, right? I mean, this Republicans will remember this. Was this Eisenhower? It was something along the lines of, you know, after the race was over, to bring everybody together, they said, you know, I'll hug your elephant if you kiss my, you know, the rest. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation Talk Radio, 790 KABC.
In this present crisis, government is the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. And Sam Nation is a solution. Of course, you need jelly beans for that.
I got a dial tone.
If you'd like to make a call,
dial 800-222-5222, because the KABC phone lines are open.
All right, and we're back. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation Talk Radio, 790 KBC. All right, today is a big day, special day. We had the last of three presidential debates. I am the voice of America here tonight, live and local, so why not? Let's go to the phones. 1-800-222-5222. 1-800-222-5222. Let me hear from you and see what you think about what happened tonight. Or just call me up and tell me that I'm crazy. Now, before I get to the calls, let me tell you one more thing here about everything. The crazy thing about liberals, there's a whole segment there about abortion. It came in the very beginning, and I thought, oh God, this is exactly where the whole thing's gonna fall apart. And sure enough, you know, Trump was very vocal about his pro-choice position, which, by the way, Hillary didn't challenge him on it. I mean, he's been all over the place on this. I mean, I think for the most part, he's probably a lot more socially liberal than he claims, or than he claimed in this last debate. But at any rate, then Hillary comes and she says, "Well, you know what? I'm telling you." You know, we have this, you know, we just have got to protect a woman's choice. It's so private. The government should never make this kind of private choice. And I thought to myself, I'm watching it and I go, this is the first time a liberal this is the only time a liberal says that the government should stay out of your business. Because here's my perspective. My perspective is the government should always stay out of your business. The only behavior that a government should regulate is where your actions affect another person. Period. That's the litmus test. It's common sense. And a lot of times this is very contrary to many Republican positions, by the way. It was funny enough. And then in the same breath, the whole issue of guns. Then they talked about the Second Amendment. Trump said. I'm a huge supporter of the Second Amendment. And you know what? And so the, and what did Hillary say? Well, we got to protect toddlers from guns. We can't have toddlers around guns, toddlers. So, you know, I guess if you're Hillary, it's you got to protect the toddler from the gun, but you can't abort, you know, the 9-month-old fetus. It's just amazing. All right, Patty, Anaheim Hills. How's it going?
Hi, how are you?
Patty, I'm doing great. Thank you. So what did you think?
I think he did a great job. He was pretty composed, a little bit, you know, interrupting, but that's him. But I think he's going to make it.
Well, now, Patty, let me ask you. So, what's your bias? Where do you where have you been on this? Have you are you a Republican? Can I ask?
I'm a total Republican.
Total Republican. Well, you're in Anaheim Hills, so you're like
Orange
me.
Orange County.
Yeah, that's right. Deep within the Orange Curtain. Now, I'm up in L.A. today, so I had to bring my passport. You know,
I
crossed the county line. So now let me ask you, in the primary, who did you support?
Donald Trump.
Did you from the beginning?
He's genuine.
Yeah.
He wants to make this country great again, and we need to support him.
Yeah, I mean, okay, but so it's interesting you say the genuine thing. So you think is that something that resonated with you right from the very beginning?
Correct.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of people like you. I think that there are, you know, there are a lot of people out there who exactly feel that way, and they don't always, you know, and here's the thing. They don't always, it's not about any one particular issue. It's that they finally are listening to somebody run for the highest office in the land. Be honest with them. And that's exactly right. Thank you, Patty. Thanks for calling in. You know, I think that Patty isn't just, she's not just representative of Republicans. She's representative also, I think, of many Democrats out there. And I had this conversation with somebody in my office that will remain nameless. I don't want to embarrass her. But a lifelong Democrat, family of Democrats, they're just Democrats all over. Basically, their family tree is crawling with Democrats. And she told me, she goes, you know, I just was talking to my uncle back east. And he might be voting for Trump. He's like, I can't bring myself to vote for Hillary. I can't do it. And I think that there's a lot of people like that because they know that they just don't trust her. They want real. Donald, good or bad, he's real. Okay, Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation Talk Radio, 790 KABC, back after this.
This is Sweet James Bergener. I listen to Sam Nation.
But you just can't gild the turd anymore. It's a stinking turd. And I don't care how many layers of gold leaf you put on it, Hillary. You can't wobble your way out of it.
Talk radio.
77790 KABC.
Did you hear about that accident John Wolf was just talking about? Southbound on Slauson, the 405. Accident and a fist fight. You know, listen, let me tell you, that is not the way to solve an accident. You don't punch the guy, okay? You get down. What do? You get his name, okay? Take pictures. Make sure you got his driver's license number. Maybe take a photo. That's always a good thing, right? Take a picture of the guy's, insurance card and his driver's license. But you don't punch him, okay? Leave that to Sweet James. Let Sweet James punch his insurance company. Okay? That's what lawyers do, especially a lawyer that's in your corner and that's going to fight for you the way Sweet James fights for his clients. Now, his friends call him Sweet James not because he punches people, but because he takes care of them. Okay? But be sure of this. He will help you by being aggressive with the other side. Go where... he's the lawyer we trust here on the program. And if you or a loved one ever need a personal injury lawyer, he's the guy to call. 1-800-881-2021. 1-800-881-2021. Or visit sweetjames.com. All right, Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation Talk Radio, 790 KABC, and we are talking about the debate that just occurred. I thought quite a good job, well done by Trump. But let's go to Lee in Bellflower. Lee, how are you?
Great. How you doing, Sam?
Good. Good. So, what did you think?
Great to talk with you. I always appreciate your perspective on your show.
Well, thank you. So, what did you think of the debate?
Well, I thought it was great. It was funny when you said that somebody might have slipped him a quaalude. That's exactly what I was thinking too. I thought he was doing really good by, you know, biting his tongue a few times and not getting too off topic. But the moderator had a lot to do with that too. But it was great. I think they both did pretty good.
Well, I think when you look at the debates in the past, it wasn't always the moderators that were setting him off. It was, you know, I mean, Hillary. I think Hillary right away in the very her people figured out that Trump gets triggered. You know, he's like, you know, he.
Yeah.
it's a word we you know, it's not the millennial triggering. It's a different kind of triggering people. It's, you know, you bring up certain things and he has this compulsive need to defend his honor and to defend his record. Done.
Right.
And so she tried this time, and I turned her. I was watching it with Robbie, with producer Robbie. And I said, he went on a date with Roman Polanski. He's like, he is so subdued. So now tell me, okay, Lisa, now what, where, tell me, I'm curious about your background on this. You're a Republican voter?
You know, I don't affiliate with any one party. I just want what's fair for the people. I don't think it's been that way for a while. I do appreciate his openness and wanting to, you know, not treat, you know, the general public like just pulling the wool over eyes, which I think has been done and needs to stop, you know?
Yeah.
I do appreciate his position on that. And of the two, you know, that we're looking at, I believe he would be the one to do that, you know, responsibly.
Yeah. I think, look, you're right. I think that a lot of people feel exactly the same as you do, and there are so many people out there who just look. We're craving genuineness. We're a country. It's so funny. You go to Whole Foods, and it's all about it being organic and real. And oh, this particular legume came from the farm. Oh my goodness, there's still dirt on it. You know, I mean, we have this affinity right now to have everything be real and honest, and we don't believe, we don't, I mean, where's even the language that we use now, and it's a funny, and then when we come to politics, all of a sudden it all goes out the window, and people, what they want to be lied to, and they want to be it's good, bad, and the ugly. You know, Trump says a lot of really stupid things. And some of what he says is just, it's buffoonery almost, okay? But he at least, you know what? It's real. And Obama was a total fake. I mean, he was this beautiful candidate that everybody loved because he had no track record, because he never went on the record to do nothing. And Hillary is a total fake too. And so it's really going to come down, this election is going to come down about a choice between, you know, a gal that has a record, and it's like Trump said tonight, you got a record, but it's not a good one, and a guy who's untested, but at least it's something new and something different and might shake things up. So, Lee, thank you. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation Talk Radio, 790 KBC, back after this.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, here's Johnny.
Now, as an added spot tonight, I just wanted to let you guys know that we are subjugating our entire show to Sam Nation because apparently he's right and the rest of everyone is wrong.
Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation Talk Radio, 790 KABC. 1-800-222-5222. 1-800-222-5222. Audrey wants to hear from you, and so do I. What you think of the debate? Okay. According to CNN, Trump lost, but only narrowly. So that's probably indicative that he did pretty damn well. It was by far the most focused, by far the most mellow, and by far the most presidential Trump we have seen so far in the election. It might be too little, too late. I don't know, but it certainly was effective. I also we'll know how many people saw the actual debate, because I think for most of us, we don't have time to sit down and watch something at 6 p.m. for an hour and a half. So everybody's relying on what the talking heads on TV are saying. And the talking heads on TV, we know, are in Hillary's back pocket. So these are not necessarily people who are giving the straight and fair scoop on things. But one thing that I believe is not going to be coming out of the news cycle in the days to come, and that is Trump a buffoon, Trump the interrupter, a lot of the things that we heard after the first debate. And the other thing I have to say is Trump put to bed his sex stuff. What did you guys think? I'm talking to my people here, the people that matter. You know, I'm just the guy behind the microphone, but yeah, well, you like the phrasing, put it to bed. Hillary tried to bring it up, and maybe it was Wallace, I forget now, but it was brought up and he just dismissed it, and he pivoted right back to the issues. Whoever told him, and they were spot on, because I remember yelling in my head watching the second half of the first debate saying, listen, here are the issues that matter. Trade, the economy, the border, ISIS, the military, the vets. Those are the issues that you win on, Trump. Talk about those. Do not get stuck in the weeds talking about silly, irrelevant, stupid stuff that just makes you look just pathetic. Don't do it. Well, whoever, and this is what gives me hope about, it's something very important, is that Trump is not a career politician. This is his first time doing this kind of thing. And he is able to learn, even as a relatively old man, he is able to learn. You are literally watching an old dog learn new tricks. And what he's doing, this is a sign that as president, he would have the capacity to build on experiences, to build on advice that he gets. And this narrative out there that he's a guy that doesn't listen, that he's a guy that just is tone deaf to advice, that he lives in his own world and his own ego, is not true. Because this debate showed that he is listening to people in his inner circle, he is watching his past debate performances, and he's making a conscious effort to change and improve who he is. And you know what? I tell you what, I know a lot of people who are 70, okay? 70 plus, even less, even people in their 50s. Look, even me. I mean, it's tough to change who you are and to improve on who you are. And he's doing it. So, might be a sign of something great. All right, we're out of time. Go Kings, go tomorrow, Kings! And I'll be back behind the microphone, 7 p.m. on Friday. Sam Rejofsky, Sam Nation Talk Radio, 790 KABC. Can't stop, addicted to the shindig. Chop, chop, it says I'm gonna win big. Choose not to life of imitation. Distant us into the reservation. Deep on the pistol that you pray for. This pump the feeling that you stay for.
News.
Talk, talk.
Evolve. 790 KABC.